Happy Wednesday to all of you out there in Radio Land. Hope, praising God, that you are having a great and blessed day. And it's kind of gloomy out, but still, it's another day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People here live on WGH Talk. Today is July the 12th. 192 days have passed this year already, and there remains 173 days left in the year. So there's still plenty of time to take that vacation, to do some redecorations in your home, get your yard landscaped. There are so many things maybe some of you have not been able to accomplish, and guess what? There is still time yet. So thank you once again for listening to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and this is live on WGH Talk. Also, we stream live on the web, www.wgh1071.com. When you go to that address website, please scroll down to the black bar where the white arrow is and click on that. Take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you. And don't forget, Linda Sims is on there, Voice of a People. Take advantage of talk shows that have been recorded for the past 9 years, not by guess, but by date. Sorry about that. Also, you have the opportunity to download on any electronic device an app called TuneIn. And once you do, please type in the search bar WWGH. Now, this app is free, so please do not pay for the subscription of WWGH, okay? Now, or you can call in during a live broadcast. I know I've had a couple calls come in when Fred Malone is on, and somehow I have lost them. So we pray that if you call back today, that we will be able to get you on, okay, and your question. So hold on out there. The number here is 740-383-9944. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. And that's for any questions or would like to make any comments. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. We will start with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, also of Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. This one will take place this Saturday, July the 15th of 2023 at the above mentioned address. It starts at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please share this information with others you may know need free produce. Share the good news. Last but not least, we have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator of Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club, here in Marion City and County Elementary Schools and all North Union County Elementary Schools. This is a faith-based program, and it takes place during the school year. So during open house, they will have a table set up and registration forms if you want your children or grandchildren to be a part of this program. Or if you miss open house, you can wait until school starts up and there will be registration forms in the office of the school that your child attends. I have a thought for today, which I love to start my show off with, and this is titled, If You Start It, Finish It. Or forget it. A task left undone remains undone in two places, at the actual location of the task and inside your head. Incomplete tasks in your head consume the energy of your attention as they gnaw at your conscience. They siphon off a little more of your personal power every time you delay. No need to be a perfectionist, that's debilitating in an imperfect world. But it's good to be a completionist. Okay. If you start it, finish it, or forget it. How does that sound to you today, Fred Malone?
Sounds good to me. I'm always in favor of that.
He's my guest today, Fred Malone, chairman of the Marion County Historical Society. So how was your 4th of July, Fred?
It was really nice. We had some friends over and had a little potluck and just enjoyed playing a little bocce ball. If you've ever, have you ever played bocce ball before?
No, I have not.
It's an Italian game. Lawn bowling, some people refer to it as lawn bowling. It's really interesting. It's like bowling in a sense, but instead of trying to knock down pins, you're trying to get as close as you can to a small ball.
Okay.
And then each team gets, you get a point to, depending on who gets closest to the ball. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Sounds fun.
An Italian sport. Played quite a bit in Italy and in places where there are groups of Italians. We were just up in Youngstown last week visiting some relatives and went to a really great Italian restaurant downtown Youngstown. And right next to it, they had built an indoor bocce court.
Oh.
And we walked in to see it, and there were 8 courts there, and all the courts were occupied with games going on, and there were people watching, and it was just great. Absolutely great.
Okay.
Great time, yeah.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what we did last week.
Okay.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it. As I talked to you the other day when I talked to you on the phone, I can only do the first part of the show today.
Right.
We have some folks coming in today about 11 o'clock to spend the day with us and don't want to miss the company of them while they're here.
Not.
They're from out of town.
Right.
So today I thought instead of what I had originally planned on doing, we'll postpone till next month, and that's talking about places that you can go in Ohio to see things. We don't even have to leave our own backyard, so to speak. So we'll do that in August. But today I thought I would catch up on some upcoming events at the Historical Society, and then if we have time, I want to share some anecdotes of one of my favorite presidents, Abraham Lincoln, and I think he's a favorite of a lot of us.
Yes, he is.
These days.
Seems to be.
And I think especially we appreciate him more now that we know what's going on these days and can appreciate what he did for us when he was in office.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the Historical Society Museum and Heritage Hall, which is located on Church Street in the old post office building, is now open Wednesday through Sunday, regular hours 1 to 4 in the afternoon. So you can stop in during that time and tour the museum. And as I like to tell people, if you haven't been there lately, you need to come because every year the main exhibit in the museum changes. This year we're featuring agriculture in Marion County in the main exhibit. And we have a nice display and exhibit of agriculture and what took place here years ago when people farmed a little differently than what they do today. Also, you can take in the Mary Ellen Withrow Museum, which is now in the building, and the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum, and the old AT&T or the GTE Telephone Company Museum, and also Sherry Williamson's Woodland Elves now is housed in the museum. So for one price, you get 5 different museums that you can see. And it's very reasonable. I don't remember what it is now, $5 or $6, but there's a discount for seniors, and there's a discount for children, and I think under a certain age, kids are free. So you can call the museum at 740-387-4255. For more information about the museum. We have some upcoming events that I wanted to talk about. The first one I wanted to mention is the one that's coming up on August the 5th, so we're just about 3 weeks away on that one. And that's our First Ladies Luncheon, and that will be held this year at Tri Rivers, as it is every year. It starts at 11 a.m. There are tickets still available. However, we have to cut off the purchasing of tickets on July the 20th. So if you're interested in that, please make your arrangements to get your tickets before the 20th of July because we have to send in a count to the caterer to prepare the lunch. The lunch will be a buffet style. And as always, the foods that you will be eating that day will be based on the original White House recipes of those first ladies that will be speaking that day.
Okay.
And this year, my lineup is Nellie Taft, wife of William Howard Taft from Cincinnati. Harriet Lane, who was the niece of James Buchanan. James Buchanan was our only bachelor president, never married. And so he asked his 21-year-old niece to stand in as the White House hostess during his 4 years in Washington. She was a very popular individual, very pretty, young, of course, and it went over very well with those people that attended events in the White House. Dolly Madison, of course, very well known, wife of James Madison. Of course, we always think when we hear Dolly Madison, we think of Dolly Madison cakes and pies mm-hmm. and things like
That's
that,
true.
But not the same
That's
Dolly
true.
Madison.
Okay.
That Dolly Madison of the cake and pie and cookie fame is actually an individual who was named by her grandparents who started that company years ago, and that's
okay.
another story entirely. But Dolly Madison is known for saving the portrait of George Washington that was in the White House when the British burned the White House during the War of 1812. So that's one of her famous things that she did. And then last but not least, Mamie Eisenhower, wife of President and General Dwight D. Eisenhower, will be speaking. So those will be the four ladies speaking. Each one of them will talk 10 to 15 minutes. As I say, we start the luncheon at 11. We're usually done around 1, 1:15. So it's a nice Saturday afternoon
okay.
For you to spend, learn a little bit of history and let the ladies talk for a change. And the MC for the day will be Harry Davies from the Pinkerton Detective Agency. He was Alan Pinkerton's right-hand man. And the Pinkerton Detective Agency preceded what we know today as the U.S. Secret Service.
Oh,
so they were the
okay.
ones that provided the protection for Abraham Lincoln when he was on his way from Springfield, Illinois, to Washington, D.C. And there's a really interesting story about that trip that we'll talk about one of these days when I'm here.
Okay.
So that is taking place on Saturday, August the 5th. Again, you can get your tickets by stopping at the museum Monday through Friday, just going up to the State Street side, ring the bell, and they'll be glad to come to the door and help you out with the tickets. Or you can buy them online, MarionHistory.com, use PayPal. Or you can call in at the museum, 740-387-4255. Let them know that you want a ticket, and they usually will make arrangements for you to pick it up there, or you can get it at the door the day of the luncheon. They just need to have their count in by July the 20th. We have a new event, or I should say an old event, that we're bringing back this year, and that is our ham and bean soup dinner.
Oh,
now,
okay.
we used to do this for a number of years, and we can't figure out why we stopped doing it, but
bet.
We stopped about 5 or 6 years ago,
okay.
and this is held at Kingston, at the Kingston Senior Residence area. They were the ones that helped us before with that. We do either take out or dine in, and that is going to be on October the 14th from 4:30 to 7. And we'll have bean soup, cornbread, coleslaw, and drinks. Or no, I'm sorry, no coleslaw. Bean soup and cornbread, what we're featuring that day. Coffee, tea, and water. The price is $7. Tickets will be done in advance, and we're selling those right now. I'm not quite sure when we're going to cut that off. I think the week before, so probably 10 be like October the 6th or 7th will cut off ticket sales. But tickets are available now. They're $7. Again, you can get them at the museum. You can go online and get them, or you can call the museum and they can make arrangements. we'll have some entertainment that night. I think I'm working on maybe dinner music at the piano.
Right.
They have a piano there, and we're going to try to get 3 or 4 people to come in and maybe play the music for us. So that's coming back. Look for press releases. We'll be on. There'll be more information on our Facebook page, on the radio. We plan on doing some work there with you and WMRN and community calendar. So if you're interested in that, you can call the museum at 740-387-4255 for more information. And this is, again, bringing back the old ham and bean supper that
right.
we used to have at Kingston. And we praise God for Kingston's participation again. They have been absolutely wonderful in the past, and they've been wonderful working with us again this year. So,
great.
All right. Now, lastly, but definitely not least, is the annual Dinner with the Presidents. I think this is the 14th year we've done this. This will be November the 4th. And this year it will be held down at all occasions in Waldo.
Oh, okay.
We're moving down there this year, but we'll still be doing the same thing. We'll have the buffet supper where the foods that you will be eating will be those that were featured by the speaking presidents while they were in the White House. This year I have Andrew Johnson, who was the vice president for Abraham Lincoln when he was elected for a second term, and then, of course, took over for Lincoln when he was assassinated and died in April of 1865. Chester Arthur, who also was never actually elected president. He was James Garfield's president and took over for James Garfield when he was assassinated. James Buchanan, our only bachelor president, and also a popular one, Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay.
So those are the speaking presidents this year. In addition to that, we'll have Benjamin Harrison, Ulysses Grant, Warren Harding, Harry Truman, James Madison, Martin Van Buren, and in the audience, Mamie Eisenhower and Nellie Taft will also have their own tables. And if you're interested there, I think there are plenty of general seating tickets left. All over, I do believe the presidential seating and the guest seating in the audience, I think those are all sold out. Also, Mary Ellen Withrow will have a table there too, and I think hers is sold out as well. MC this year will be Colonel Edmund Starling, who we talked about on the show maybe a few months ago, who was a U.S. Secret Service agent to five different U.S. presidents. Up until just recently, he was the only Secret Service agent that served five presidents, and we had one in modern times who was a part of the detail that was with Kennedy when he was assassinated in Dallas. But it should be a very fun evening. Again, November the 4th at 5:30. Again, to be held this year down at all occasions in Waldo. And you can get your tickets the same way. Go to our website, marianhistory.com. You can buy them online with PayPal. You can stop at the museum Monday through Friday. Ring the bell at the door on State Street, just park in the parking lot behind, and the girls will be glad to sell you the tickets that day, or you can call 740-387-4255 for more information or to reserve your tickets. And the cutoff date for those will be probably around October the 20th, so you've got a little time on that one.
Okay.
But again, on the luncheon for the First Ladies, that cutoff date is coming up here rather quickly, and that'll be July the 20th. So if you're interested in those, why, make sure you get a hold of those right away, and that's always a very fun event, too. It gives the ladies a chance to tell their side of the story.
So true.
And in the past, sometimes they've talked about their life before the presidency, or they've talked about their courtship of their husband.
Sure.
They've talked about their life in the White House, and we've had some talk about their post-White House experiences. So it's always interesting, and I always let the First Ladies determine what they want to talk about. I never know until the audience hears. So it's always very interesting.
I'm sure that makes it interesting.
They do. Wait. They do. And we are so fortunate. And again, I can't thank the reenactors that portray the presidents and the first ladies, and really all the reenacting that we do for the Marion County history. We are so fortunate to have so many dedicated volunteers, and nobody gets paid. Nobody gets paid for doing this. We only have three paid staff at the museum, our director, our assistant director, and our custodian. Those are the only people that get paid. So the museum basically is operated by volunteers.
Okay.
We have a really good staff of volunteers. And I will mention we're always looking for volunteers.
I'm sure you are.
Just like everybody else that needs volunteers to run their organization. But we're always looking. And if people get afraid sometimes, they say, well, I don't want to be a guide in a museum. You don't have to be a guide. There's other things to do. You know, with roughly 35,000 items in our archives, and the exhibits constantly changing, we always need someone to help with dusting things off and looking things up, and we can help you do all that stuff and just general cleaning on the inside, rearranging. There's a lot of things to do. You don't have to be a guide.
That's true. So true.
And again, if you're interested in that, just contact the museum, and they'll be happy to help you out and let you help us out. And, of course, in addition to that, we have Lynn School, which is located out on Route 4 North. That's a one-room schoolhouse that we own, and that's open during the summer, like every other weekend, for people to tour. So we always need volunteers out there, too, just to man the Lynn School. So there's plenty of things to be done at the Marion County Historical Society. I wanted to take just a moment. I mentioned to you off air before we started that we, since I was here the last time, we lost our gentleman who portrayed George Washington
right,
for us.
Right, you did say that, yes.
John Coates passed away about a month ago. We didn't even get the word until last week. We didn't know. He wasn't originally from Marion. He was from up on the East Coast someplace. So that's where the family was. But and his wife, unfortunately, had passed away back, I think, in February or April, March or April, something like that. So, and she was Martha Washington. So we lost both of our reenactors that portrayed the Washingtons.
So
and
sorry to hear that.
It's a sad thing because they both enjoyed what they did. Of course, they were both retired. They had been in Marion, I think, gosh, probably about 10 years. And when they moved here, one of the first things they did was join the Historical Society, and they wanted to get involved.
Okay.
And they had been doing reenactments for it for us ever since they moved here. And it creates a great hole in our organization. They were both very, very nice people. You wouldn't want to know two nicer people. Whatever I would ask them to do, they were always willing to do
right.
and more than happy to do it. So it's a big loss. And I think I mentioned the last time was here that I was here that Mike Perry, one of our other volunteers, former board members, had passed away. And we are still mourning his loss and will for quite some time. I know right now that a lot of his collection of photographs and things like that will be coming to the museum. I know his wife is working with Randy right now, sorting things through. So I know it was Mike's wishes to have those things come to the Historical Society to be a part of the archives
right.
For people to use for future reference, mm-hmm. those people that want to study and learn more about their county.
Right.
And, of course, I never mentioned this before, but we have a wonderful genealogical society in Marion County. They have their offices in our building as well. They're downstairs in on the lower level, and they have someone in that office every Saturday from 1 to 4. So if you're interested, anybody that lives in Marion or has past history in Marion, if you're ever interested in doing some genealogy or some research on relatives, you can stop down there on Saturday at no charge. You don't have to pay admission to the museum. You can get down to the Genealogical Society for nothing. And they will help you see what you can find on,
really?
On the relatives. They have the atlases. They have a huge collection of obituaries that goes way back to the mid-1800s. So they've got a lot of information there at your fingertips.
I'm sure they do. I did not know that.
Yeah. I oftentimes forget that, and I feel ashamed that I don't mention them every time, and I'm going to have to try to do better because they do provide a great service. And, you know, Linda, a lot of people are interested in genealogy these days.
Yes, they are.
I take the Smithsonian, belong to the Smithsonian Institute, and I get their magazine, and I just received my latest magazine, and there's a wonderful article in there. In fact, I'll share it with you.
Okay.
It's about photographers that started taking pictures of African Americans back in the 1850s.
Okay.
And all the daguerreotypes and the cabinet cards that were taken. This collection is now located in the Smithsonian Institute for people to see.
Wow.
But I never realized that there was that much photography being done of the African Americans because so many were slaves.
Right.
And a lot of the photographs that have been that were taken and have been kept and are in part of the collection are of a lot of slaves from that era. And I didn't realize this either, but James Brady, who took a lot of the photographs of the Civil War dead and the Civil War, the photographer that was doing all this photography work of black Americans actually preceded Brady in photographs.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting to find that out as well. So you never know what
That's
you're going to learn. You know,
so
you can
true.
Learn something every day if you,
yes.
If you just open your eyes and your ears.
That's true.
And listen and learn. So, all right, enough of my soapbox. Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorite presidents, and I think I'm not alone in
no,
that respect.
You're not. No,
I think
you're not.
I think a lot of modern day people still feel that Abraham Lincoln was probably one of our our best, if not our best, presidents. I always like to throw George Washington in there, too, but as the father of country. But then, you know, you find out things as history goes along that, you know, you have to look back at some of these things. And then sometimes, you know, Washington wasn't that great of a guy. You know? And that's a story for another day.
Right. I'd love to hear that story,
too. But Lincoln, I've done a lot of research and a lot of study on Lincoln, and I honestly have never found anything detrimental in his background, in his history. So so today I thought I'd share some stories, some anecdotal stories about Lincoln with you and our listeners. I ran across a book called Presidential Anecdotes, and it is absolutely full of a lot of information that I totally wasn't aware of. And I'm always looking for things like this because these are the types of things that you don't see in regular history books.
Right.
And they're interesting things to know about the different presidents. In 1846, Lincoln ran for Congress as a Whig. Now, that was a political party back in the early days of the country, and was opposed by a gentleman by the name of Peter Cartwright, who was actually a very eloquent Methodist evangelist. And he was running against Mr. Lincoln for that same congressional seat as a Democrat. Mm-hmm. During the campaign, Lincoln attended a religious meeting where Cartwright was preaching. After his sermon, Cartwright declared, "All who desire to lead a new life, to give their hearts to God, and to go to heaven will stand up." A sprinkling of men, women, and children stood up. Then Cartwright cried out, "All who do not wish to go to hell will stand." At this, everyone stood up except Lincoln.
Oh, my.
Then said Cartwright in his gravest voice, "I observed that many responded to the first invitation to give their hearts to God and to go to heaven. And I further observed that all of you, save one, indicated that you do not wish to go to hell. The sole exception is Mr. Lincoln, who did not respond to either invitation."
Right.
"May I inquire of you, Mr. Lincoln, where are you going?" Lincoln got up slowly and said quietly, "I came here as a respectful listener. I did not know I was to be singled out by Brother Cartwright. I believe in treating religious matters with due solemnness. I admit that the questions propounded by Brother Cartwright are of a great importance. I did not feel, though, called upon to answer as the rest did."
Right.
"Brother Cartwright asked me directly, where am I going? I desire to reply with equal directness. I am going to Congress." The meeting quickly broke up.
Oh, my.
Which I thought was kind of interesting, since they were congressional candidates against each other.
Right, because I see that on Facebook a lot. If, you know, "I bet you won't share this. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." Well, who I have to prove it to, right?
That's exactly right. You don't have to prove it to anybody but yourself.
Right.
One day Lincoln was ill and not inclined to listen to people nagging him for jobs. Mm-hmm. Years ago, when the president assumed office, normally on the first day or first week or first couple of weeks of his term, the White House would fill up with people wanting jobs, because it was up to the president in those days to appoint every single solitary job in the federal government. Can you imagine the president having to do that today?
No.
Now we have different departments that handle all that.
Right.
But in those days, the president had to hand out those jobs. It was individual postmasters.
Wow.
Very important jobs. Every postmaster's position, when a new president came in, it was up to the president to appoint a postmaster.
Oh, my.
Can you imagine how many there were then?
No.
There's a ton of them now.
Right.
There's still a lot then. So, anyway, he wasn't really feeling well enough to listen to people nagging about these jobs. Just as one of these pests had seated himself for a long interview, the president's physician happened to enter the room. Lincoln, holding out his hands, asked him, "Doctor, what are those blotches?" "That's varioloid, or mild smallpox," said the doctor. "They're all over me," said Lincoln. "It is contagious, I believe." "Very contagious indeed," said the doctor. Lincoln's visitor got up at this point and exclaimed, "Well, I can't stop now, Mr. Lincoln. I just called to see how you were." "Oh, don't be in a hurry, sir," said Lincoln pleasantly. "Thank you, sir," said the visitor hastily. "I'll call again." And he headed for the door. "There's one good thing about this," remarked Lincoln as the man left. "I now have something I can give everybody." The smallpox.
Right. I guess that was pretty prevalent in those
It was.
Days.
It really was. And I guess this varioloid that they were talking about was like a precursor to smallpox.
Oh, okay.
It often did not develop into total smallpox because mm-hmm. smallpox, in addition to being very contagious, was also deadly.
Yes.
Most people didn't survive it. But from what I understand and what I've read about smallpox is that you could only get it if you ate from the same utensil or drank from the same
right.
utensil, the water they had, or used the same linen. So normally what they would have people do was to burn everything
right.
that the patient came in contact with. Some weeks after the 1860 election, now the 1860 election was the election that Lincoln won for his first term as president, Springfield banker John W. Bunn met Senator Salmon P. Chest coming out of Lincoln's law office in Springfield. "You don't want to put that man in your cabinet," he told Lincoln. "Why do you say that?" Lincoln asked. "Because," said Bunn, "he thinks he is a great deal bigger than you are." "Well," said Lincoln, "do you know of any other men who think that they are bigger than I am?" "I don't know that I do," said Bunn. "Why do you ask?" "Because," said Lincoln, "I want to put them all in my cabinet." And, interestingly enough, Lincoln's whole premise about his cabinet was to put his enemies and people he didn't trust in the cabinet.
Closer to him.
Closer to him. And I think we all know that there's a saying out there that keep your enemies close.
Closer, yes.
Yep, absolutely. So obviously Lincoln, you know, was no fool when it came to those types of things.
He probably learned the hard way.
I'm sure he probably did. Well, of course, you know, he was a congressman for one term.
Right.
Unfortunately, he never got reelected. He beat out that evangelist minister, but then the following 2 years after he served his first term, he got beat out by the same man.
Wow.
Came back and beat him. The one that asked him where he was going.
Okay.
So he did spend some time in the Illinois legislature as well. He was a postmaster in Illinois before he moved to Springfield, and of course he had a law office in Springfield before he was elected president. So yes, he was I'm sure he learned a lot of things the hard way.
Oh yeah.
Ran twice for United States Senate against Stephen Douglas, was defeated both times, but then fortunately defeated Stephen Douglas in this 1860 election, so he kind of got back at him and won a better office than what Douglas did. So. On the fatal night of April the 14th, 1865, Lincoln did not want to go to the theater. In fact, a lot of people don't know that he had asked President, at that time, General Grant and General Grant's wife, Julia Dent Grant, to go to the theater with them. But Mrs. Dent did not like Mrs. Lincoln. They didn't get along at all. So the general made up the excuse that because he'd been away at war for 4 years and he hadn't seen his children, that they wanted to rush back home to see the kids, so he begged off of going to the theater that night with the Lincolns.
Okay.
Or General Grant may have been assassinated at the same time. So it's as fate would have it,
right.
He wasn't there. The young couple that went with the Lincolns that night was a captain or a colonel, I can't remember now, in the Union Army, a young officer, and his lady friend.
Right.
And they were like a last-minute addition to be seated in the presidential box. But anyway, Lincoln didn't really want to go that night. He'd already seen the play, which was playing Our American Cousin, once before, and he was not anxious to see it again. He tried to get out of going, but Mrs. Lincoln had her heart set on it, and he was a very faithful husband. Whatever
right.
Mrs. Lincoln wanted, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He really babied her to a great extent. She had some issues in her lifetime. She had some mental issues. I think I mentioned at one of our previous shows that years after Mr. Lincoln had passed away, and of course they lost two children, that their youngest son, Robert, had her committed to an insane asylum for a while.
You did say that, yes.
I think she was in there for about 6 months. So she had some issues. But anyway, she had her heart set on it and wanted to go. It has been advertised that we will be there, and we're going.
And this is the night he was assassinated.
This was the night.
Oh, my.
So Lincoln told the White House guard, Colonel William H. Crook, "And I cannot disappoint the people. Otherwise, I would not go. I do not want to go." He's telling this to the guard at the door. As he left, he said, "Goodbye, Crook." This puzzled the guard. Ordinarily, when the president left to go to the theater or anywhere else, he said, "Good night."
Right.
But that day he said,
"Goodbye."
Goodbye.
Isn't that something?
You know, Lincoln had a premonition and awoke one night. And whether he was sleepwalking, or whether he was awake, he wandered downstairs to the East Room. And on a catafalque was a coffin, surrounded by guards and weeping people. And as he entered the room, he asked the guard that was standing by the door, "Who lies dead in the East Room?"
Mm-hmm.
And the guard said to him, "The president."
Really?
And as he walked closer, it was him. And that was a dream that he had, a dream or a premonition or whatever you want to call it. And, of course, Mrs. Lincoln had numerous times had dreams that he would die while in office and not return to Springfield. So you never know about these things.
No, you don't.
You just don't know. But I thought it was odd when I read this story that he broke his tradition of saying goodnight by saying goodbye.
Like I'm never going to see you again. Wow.
Yeah. It kind of gives you chills to think about it, really.
It really does.
He was really a very intelligent man and a very high thinker. He was also a real jokester.
Mm-hmm.
He loved to tell stories. Not really jokes, but stories about real people
right.
that he'd encountered. He was an itinerant lawyer, which meant he traveled from one small town to another small town when he lived in Illinois, providing legal assistance to those people that couldn't afford it.
Right.
And so he picked up stories along the way. And, of course, being a postmaster, I can't remember the little town he started in before he went to Springfield, but he was postmaster. You got to hear a lot of stories because men would gather around the pot-bellied stove and tell stories, and of course he would
right.
participate and pick up those stories and all that type of thing. The interesting thing about his years at the post office, oftentimes it was a general store that had the post office in it, much like they were in those days. But if you ran the general store, you were also generally running the post office, or you were appointed postmaster. But during his time as postmaster, people would come in to get their mail, and if postage was due on it, most of them never had any money, so he would just give it to them, and, "Oh, you can owe me, you can owe
right,
me."
Right.
He did the same thing with what he sold at the general store.
Okay.
And he didn't own the general store. He ran it for a person that did own it. And, of course, periodically a person would come back to check on things, and he was always losing money. The store never made money. But the guy liked Lincoln so well, and the people in the community liked him so well, he just suffered the losses and never said anything more about it, you know.
That was
Abe Lincoln, you know. That was Abraham Lincoln. He was just that type of an individual.
Had empathy for people.
He really did. He had empathy for them. He was sympathetic if they had issues and problems
right.
and causes, and was also trying to help them any way he can. But he was never one to back away from a scrap. He used to get into a lot of fist fights, and he was good at it. And that was why guys from the neighboring villages would challenge him to fist fights when they come into town. You'd have a guy that would come into town, he'd say, "I want to know who the toughest guy is in town."
Right.
And it was always going to be Abe Lincoln.
Oh,
and
my.
So, you know, before long there was a fist fight.
He was pretty tall too, wasn't he?
He was. He was like 6'4", 6'5".
Wow.
And so just as soon as the challenge was laid down, you know, pretty soon out in the village green, here'd be these two guys going at it. And Lincoln always prevailed. I don't think he ever, in all the books I've read, I don't think he ever lost one of those scraps on the village green. So, what do you have for time?
4 minutes.
Okay. That's all I wanted to share with Lincoln. I did want to share a couple of stories about Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge, he was one of my favorite presidents, too. He was a very religious man. When he found out that he was going to be the new president. He was a vice president for Warren Harding. And when Warren Harding died in San Francisco, Coolidge had been spending time with his father up in Vermont. And his father lived way out in the boonies and had no electricity, no telephone, no nothing. So they had to send an entourage out in the middle of the night, basically, to let Coolidge know that he was now president, that Harding had passed away. And so they had to wake the household up, come down with a kerosene lamp, informing that he was now president. His father, who was a notary public, could do the swearing in at that time. So he was sworn in by kerosene light at his father's dining room table by his father, and then went back to bed. No big deal. But he was a very interesting individual. At one of the breakfasts that he had for politicians when he was president in the White House, Coolidge carefully poured his coffee and cream into a saucer. A few of his guests politely did the same thing, assuming that they were going to drink. Then as they waited for Coolidge to take a gulp, he smiled slightly, leaned over, and put the saucer on the floor for his cat.
So what are you going to do with this cup of saucer, right?
Isn't that great? I love that one.
Yeah, that is.
I love that one.
Monkey see, monkey do, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think we all remember Will Rogers. You know,
yes.
Of course, he's been dead. He died long before we were born,
and
but
Dale
still,
Evans,
we all know about him.
That's the same Will Rogers with Dell Evans?
No, that was
different.
Roy. That was Roy.
Okay.
Will Rogers was a humorist back in the 20s and 30s. When Coolidge was president, he had oftentimes, after he became president, had Will Rogers and his wife come to the White House for dinner. But just before they had ever met, just before Will Rogers first met President Coolidge, one of his friends said, "I'll bet you can't make Cal laugh in 2 minutes." "I'll bet he laughs in 20 seconds," said Will. Then came the introduction one day. "Mr. President, this is Mr. Will Rogers. Mr. Rogers, this is President Calvin Coolidge." Will held out his hand, looked confused, and then said, "Excuse me, I didn't quite get the name." A grin spread over Coolidge's face as he busted out laughing. You know, he was the one that, at one of these dinners with Will Rogers, they were eating in the president's dining room, and Will Rogers kept noticing that the president kept reaching his hand down on the floor. The president had two large dogs. And finally, Rogers decided that he was feeding the dogs from his plate by handing them food off of the table.
Right.
Well, Rogers turned to his wife and said, "You know," he says, "I think I'm going to get down on the floor and crawl around. These dogs are getting better fed than I am."
They might as well, right?
Yeah,
get in line with them.
Yeah,
thank you, Fred Malone, chairman of the Marion County Historical Society. Thank you very much for your humor and your wit and your knowledge of the past and our president. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People here live on WGH Talk. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.